Welcome to Merchman Seeds Cup of Joe. On this episode, Ben has some highlights from Pattern Ag's Predictive Ag Report. It is linked below. Lynn took a road trip up to Northwest Iowa on Wednesday and has an update on things he saw. And stick around for a couple corny jokes.
Hi, this is Joe Merchman. Welcome to Merchman Seeds Cup of Joe. Today we have Ben and Lynn. Boy, it's a busy time right now. Let's make this short and keep people in the field. But there are a few things that are important right now.
Right. So I kind of wanted to highlight a few of these things on the 2024 Predictive Ag Report that came from Pattern Ag. We actually sent it out to all of our dealers just because it's a good tool to kind of look at different diseases and pests that we fight every year. And these are predictive maps on where we saw pressure from last year and predictive maps of where we believe that, like tar spot and things like that.
Based on DNA soil samples, right?
Correct. It's from Pattern Ag, and we've talked about Pattern Ag on the program before a couple different times. So they basically take soil tests just like you would for nutrient soil sampling, and they have the ability to go in and pull the DNA out of that soil sample, and they basically have a lot of the pests in the crop world. They have the pests, so let's call it corn rootworm, they have the DNA sequenced, or whether it be sudden death syndrome, they have that DNA sequenced, and they tell you what level it is out in your field.
Yeah, using it at a molecular level. So it's the latest technology as far as a predictive way to know what's in your soil and what are the potential problems.
Correct. So the first thing I wanted to look at was like the western and northern rootworm situation. You know, rootworm is such a big deal to a lot of different customers, and there's with resistance popping up and not having the ability to control with the regular SmartStax Duracade and the Chromes, you having to go to a SmartStax Pro. Looking at where the hot spots were for last year is a very a good way to predict what we're seeing this year with the lack of moisture that we had. So western's hot spot was northwest Illinois, northeast Iowa. That's not real. I mean, we've heard those reports as well. The Northerns is definitely a northwestern Iowa bias to it. So it's got some different tips and trends that talk about each of those individual pests as well. The next disease that I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about, because we spend so much time talking about it, is the soybean cyst nematode and the sudden death syndrome. You can see on page 12 and 13 of this pamphlet here, it talks about where the hotspots for that are. Definitely looks like an Indiana location thing. That doesn't necessarily surprise me with the amount of really productive sandy soils that they have in Indiana, in certain parts of that state. I think that the numbers in Iowa and Illinois kind of surprised me that we don't have random hotspots, but this is what their findings have found, and then the sudden death syndrome side of things.
Their findings are based off of, I mean, we don't know what their sample size is when they're doing these heat maps. So, you know, just because it shows a potential hotspot somewhere in Indiana, and if you're in southeast Iowa, that's why it's very important to know what your field is and not base it completely off of this information. This is just an overall synopsis of what they have found.
Correct. And I know when we were working with them a couple years ago, more directly than we are now, you know, they were on hundreds of thousands of acres. So they have decent sample size, yep. But if you don't have it in a certain quadrant because they don't have a salesman in that area, that's super prolific. You know, you may not have perfect results, but these are pretty good results. Sudden death syndrome is the next one that I wanted to touch on. Look at where the hot spot is, central to eastern Illinois. We saw that this past year, so that doesn't surprise me.
Well, Alex is going to put the link up, so if you did not see this information, you can go through it, but it's extremely good for a lot of diseases and insect problems, both corn and soybeans.
Correct. Yep. There's tar spot in here. There's Cercospora leaf blight of soybeans on the predictive side. So they have enough information based on weather and where the hot spots are on how some of these different diseases are going to affect you in the future too. So take a look at that. It's definitely interesting and worth glancing at, knowing maybe I need to be thinking about this, that, or the other.
Well, just keep in mind that you can fight these problems with your soybean and corn hybrid selections. You can also fight these problems with your seed treatments. And then keep in mind also that you guys still have to have the disease triangle in order to have, just because you have the disease present, you still got to have the right environment and a susceptible host before you'll see the disease. So you don't get too upset if you see that, oh boy, I got really bad this particular problem, but in this area according to the maps, well, if you don't have the conditions to basically grow that disease, it's not going to happen.
Right. It's playing the odds.
Playing the odds, yep.
The darker the red, the higher the odds are that it's going to, that spark's going to light, so.
I go back to, it's been a couple years ago at ICM conference that I think it was University of Nebraska professor had put up there that where they were getting a lot of success in a yield standpoint was a lot of their defensive hybrids and defensive soybean varieties. And some of that goes back to this exact point that, you know, the racehorses might have the top end, but if there is something that's a yield limiting factor, whether that be a disease pressure or a pest pressure, it doesn't really matter what that top end yield, and then we're kind of keep going back to that. A lot of our offense is played by defense, just because we have such a prolific pest pressure, disease pressure. You know, and then we go into fertilizer use efficiencies of different hybrids and that such. So it's definitely a good learning tool for you to use. It's not the end all be all, but if you're interested, definitely reach out to Pattern Ag and have your fields tested if you want to be more in the know on what you have on your own acres.
You may not believe this, but when soybeans were first introduced in the United States, they were considered a disease-free crop. Things have really changed.
That is absolutely.
Boy, we'd like to go back to that, huh?
That would be something interesting.
Anyhow, Lynn, do you have anything for the cause today?
Yeah, so, you know, in true farmer fashion, everyone always wants to know what the neighbors are doing. So this week I got to take a road trip up to Spencer, Iowa, and I was really disappointed to see that there wasn't much moving from West Point to Spencer. You know, saw two field cultivators out in the field. It was one of those where the dust was coming off the tires, but then you look behind the field cultivator and it was like, or should you be doing that? Anhydrous was starting to go back on, and then some hog manure was going on as well. But I saw one planter go down the road and one guy was in the field about a 5-hour drive.
Yes, yeah, northwest Iowa. You know, Spencer's right in the middle of the Iowa Great Lakes, you know, Lake Okoboji, Spirit Lake, beautiful area.
So I was a little disappointed. I was hoping I'd get to come back and, you know, spread the gospel that the guys up north were hot and heavy and we should be getting ready to go. But, you know, the conditions just aren't quite right. And, you know, in those situations, you know, it looks like there was a lot of some manure going on, like I said, even some poultry manure going on. So, you know, the guys feel cultivating, man, they were trying to get their manure worked in and try to preserve some of that nitrogen that they have in the organic and inorganic forms with poultry manure. So pretty quiet on the home front from that standpoint. But, you know,
what day was that?
That would have been on Wednesday. Yep. So, you know, lots going to change this week, though, and this weekend. The guys are really excited, and some of our weather patterns here locally are looking to be a little bit favorable to potentially over the weekend, and then we turn into some wet. So just always the caution is, you know, don't get too far out over your skis and make sure that, you know, if you're planting early, that it's always whatever you're more comfortable to replant. But stuff looks good. You know, and talking with my father-in-law last night, we were discussing some of our own operation stuff, and you know, we're going to tiptoe into the corn and beans a little bit, but just not overly excited about beans. And talking with Chris Ehler, you know, last year on our episode with what they went through in April with when you plant early beans, it's really kind of nice to have kind of the minimum standards to plant. You don't like real
from
hot.
A temperature standpoint.
Correct. You don't like real hot right afterwards because we kind of want the beans to wallow around for a little bit. So we're looking to have conditions that maybe will add a little spark to that. But, you know, if you're planting on Saturday or Sunday, you and I have discussed this. I don't think that they're going to take off too bad. So it should be really fun. It'd be a nice probably experiment this year again with we're going to have planting conditions on, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Take 3 days off, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday again for a couple weeks. So we'll have a good indication on early, mid, and probably a little bit later planted if Mother Nature continues the way that she's going.
And it's important to get that corn down to that 2-inch to 2.25-inch depth, because it's actually, you got more uniform temperatures than if you plant it shallow, plus also the to get those crown rots to develop correctly at 3/4 of an inch above below the soil. So don't just because, I'm going to bring it up a little bit, that's the wrong thing to do when you're planting early. Anything else? If not, we'll we'll see if we can make a couple people smile today. Most of you, you know, we know about the superheroes that we have out there, you know, Superman, Batman, whatnot. Of course, you know, this one here is about Iron Man, okay? What's the difference between Iron Man and Aluminum Man? Iron Man stops the criminals, but Aluminum Man just foils their plans, okay? My son threw a milk carton at me. How dare he? Okay. All right, this one here. What did the judge with a toothache say to the dentist? What did the judge with a toothache say to the dentist? Do you swear to pull the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth?
That's a pretty good one.
And the last one. What do you call a beehive with no exit? What do you call a beehive with no exit? Unbelievable.
There you go.
A lot of people ask me how things are going, and I always say unbelievable. And the reason I say that is because it can be unbelievably good or unbelievably bad. So, but it's really funny how most people say, oh, that's great. They don't really know that you can use that answer for anything. Anyhow, thanks for watching today. We hope things are going well in the field for you. We hope your family's safe and healthy. We'll see you next week.